friends. Welcome back to Ghouls Night In, the spooky chat show with your best ghoul friends. I'm Penny Snark.
And I'm Midge Munster.
And for today's episode, I was just kind of thinking, I wanted to reach into both my past and the world's past, because I wanted to delve back into something that I was interested in when I was a kid.
So I had a strong urge to sing We Are the World just then.
So I've talked about how I love like unsolved mysteries. I love ancient Egypt, any kind of like mysterious ancient things. So today we're going to talk about Stonehenge.
Oh, nice. That was going to be the stupidest sentence. Be like, I was just talking about Stonehenge yesterday, but I was.
I love that for you. Maybe you were picking up my wavelengths.
I know. You're not a New Girl person, right? The show New Girl?
I'm familiar, but I haven't watched, like, all of it.
There's, like, a bit where Schmidt's talking about how, like, on average, every American thinks about Abe Lincoln once a day. That's where my brain went. I was like, the average American thinks about Stonehenge.
Perhaps. Yes. So my memory of my thoughts about Stonehenge from when I was a kid was just like a very like a ooh, like a mystical vibe. Mm-hmm. Like I remember lots of TV specials talking about druids and ancient magic and maybe aliens.
And is this aliens? Yeah.
Is this aliens?
One of Midge's favorite topics was this aliens.
Right. And I feel like especially in like this like 90s, early 2000s, there was just like this very widespread sense that like, well, obviously ancient people couldn't build something like this. So like, there must be some kind of interference, which is kind of crazy when you think about it, because you're like, but there are all of these examples of it from around the world. So it seems like they probably could figure out how to do some right. of these crazy construction projects. And also, like, I just have to point out, they didn't have jobs. So,
like, anything's possible when you're not dying in capitalism.
Exactly. I'm like, if you haven't invented capitalism, you have a lot more time to like push rocks around the country and do other such labor.
You heard it here first on Ghouls Night. Banish capitalism, push rocks.
Yes. The children yearn for the mines. We want to push rocks. So for anyone who doesn't know what this is at all, Stonehenge is an ancient monument that is located in southern England. It's one of the most famous cultural sites in the United Kingdom. So it's made up of like this outer circle of vertical standing stones, which are known as sarsen stones. That is the type of stone it is, with like the horizontal stones over the top connecting them. And then there is an inner kind of assortment of bluestone, which is also a type of stone. They are not blue, unfortunately. And then an extra large pair of those sarsen stones with like a horizontal stone on top in the center. And these rocks are real big.
How big are they?
The external ring of stones are 13 feet high by 7 feet wide and weigh approximately 25 tons apiece.
Dang. That's big a stone.
Big rock. Very big.
I like that boulder.
It's a large boulder the size of a small boulder. So you may be listening to this and are like, all right, I'm hearing about stones. What's a henge? This is something that I too have wondered. So henge is a term that refers to earthwork made in the Neolithic period, but that term actually comes from Stonehenge and not the other way around.
Nice.
Big surprises. So there is, from what I could tell, the first kind of written reference is this 11th century text where it refers to the Stanhang, not far from Salisbury. Stan meaning stone, and hang probably meaning like hanging or suspended. So it's like the suspended stones.
Makes which is aptly named. Cool, yeah.
Aptly named. There is also a story in Arthurian legend from the 12th century that describes Merlin bringing the stones there to set them up. So people have been talking about this for a long time. But Stonehenge itself existed long before that, and that area was potentially important for even longer than that. So we're going to hop in our little Ghoul's Night time machines and go all the way back to the Mesolithic period, the Middle Stone Age. This is like the time of like the last era of like hunter-gatherers. So like before we'd invented farming. So this was a very long time ago. We're way back right now. So 8,500 to 7,000 BCE, there's evidence that there were pits dug here and that they had some kind of like timber posts erected in them, presumably for some ritual slash non-utility purpose. Obviously, we don't really know, and we don't know if that like monument was a reason that Stonehenge was eventually built here. But it's just pretty crazy to think about people doing stuff that long ago.
Just people doing stuff.
People were out here doing things. And the next thing that we know that happened here, can you guess what it could be, Midge?
Nope.
what do people like to do at special places?
Celebrate.
Yes, but also human burial.
Sure.
No one ever told me that Stonehenge was a graveyard, so now I just had to find that out for myself.
Whoa, graveyards back to back. What is up?
Graveyards all over the place. So I legitimately did not know that when I started researching this episode, and I was like, oh shit, this is even more ghoulish than I thought, because I was kind of going from like the, you know, weird, weird thing, alien connection thing. And then I was like, fuck, there's dead bodies here. I should have known. That's why I like it so much. So back in 3000 BCE, so a long time past the pits, but still a very long time ago, there was a giant circular ditch with a built up bank that they created here. And that is considered to be the first major event in the creation of Stonehenge, and kind of lays out that like circular area that we think of as Stonehenge.
Nice.
And within that circle, people dug 56 pits that are called the Aubrey Holes. Good name. After an earlier
page.
Aubrey Holes.
Aubrey Holes.
Love it. Named after John Aubrey, who was an early archaeologist, though we will mention briefly again later. So in these pits, as well as in the ditch, they have found cremated remains. So there's about 64 different people that they've like identified based on, figuring out the bone fragments and things. So they believed that these people were like originally interred in separate pits. But of course, in the 1920s, when modern archaeology started, they dug up all these bone fragments and were like, well, fuck these aren't important, and put them all back into one pit. So thanks, guys. So
very nice.
Yes. So there's believed to potentially be as many as 150 people who were interred at Stonehenge, and the remains show a mix of men and women, some children, so it doesn't appear to have been like an exclusive burial area. And in general, the area surrounding Stonehenge has several barrows or burial mounds that have been created kind of throughout history. So this was obviously some kind of like intriguing or special place for past civilizations.
Yeah, I had never known that there were any buried people there. That's crazy.
Yes. So there are some researchers who actually think that the blue stones, so the kind of like inner circle of stones, were potentially initially brought as grave markers. There was like all sorts of complicated archaeology stuff where they're like, oh, well, when we look at the way that like the chalk is compressed, we think that the stone was here originally. And I'm like, whoa, that's some crazy stuff to figure out from some old rock
facts. Yeah.
There are so many rock facts in this episode. And this blue stone is part of the big mystery of Stonehenge, because it is not from anywhere in the surrounding area. It is believed to have been brought from 140 miles away specific area in Wales, which would be a really long way to bring rocks for a project today. back in the day. So there have been all sorts of like experiments that people have done to see like how you could potentially move rocks this size. There are some where like they're like, oh, well, maybe you made like a highway of like logs and it kind of like rolled mm-hmm. them. People
for
also
140 miles.
People also theorize that maybe they use sleds greased with lard. Ew.
Nice.
But very slippery.
The old Dunder Mifflin technique for moving paper. That's hilarious.
Grease them up.
Grease them up. Slide them down.
Right. Obviously, they went 140 miles, so these specific rocks were very important to these people.
Yeah.
Hot Stonehenge news alert. As recently as 2021, there was a study where they believe that some of the bluestones that are in Stonehenge were actually part of another circle monument in Wales originally. Oh. Like, and this was more like rock facts where they were like, well, we looked at where the dirt was in the grooves of this stone and compared it to this. And I was like, man, you archaeologists, you guys are always figuring
crazy stuff out. You really know a lot about rocks.
Yeah. You know a lot about rocks. And they also know a lot about bones because they looked at the strontium levels in some of the cremated remains that were found, as one does, obviously. The first thing you check is the strontium levels.
That is always what I check first.
And based on that, they think that some of the remains were people who lived in that area of Wales and not in Stonehenge. So it seems like it's possible that people migrated here and brought both the stones and some remains with them when they came. So it was like a whole transfer.
Is the hypothesis that the people were like, what is it called? Not interred. That's the opposite. But like unburied and brought there?
Yes.
Okay. So they were.
That they had been buried ritually at this site in Wales. And then they were like, we're picking up and we're leaving. So let's grab our rocks and grab our dead people and get out of here.
Bring out your dead.
Bring out your dead, man.
Exhumed. So, that's the word.
Yes.
Sorry.
See, in my brain, I was like disinterred, which technically is also correct, but I exhumed was the better word.
Literally, my brain could not find that word there. Okay, yeah, we're back in business.
It takes a moment.
It's a nighttime recording sesh. We don't normally...
Yes, the vibes.
the vibes are immaculate.
So construction on Stonehenge continued for over 1,000 years.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Like, you think of, like, oh, here it is. We built this great henge, and now, check, we're done. But this was not true. They have, like, a second round of, like, it seemed like people built some timber structures, which obviously do not survive to the modern age. And then in, like, 2600, they were, like, BCE, obviously not now. They were like, oh fuck, we gotta dig some more holes and bring in some more rocks, and did that. And in 2500 is when they put up like the really big like stones around the outside that we think about as Stonehenge. From my understanding, I got a lot of this information from like the official like Stonehenge website.
Sure.
Is the English Heritage, yeah. English Heritage Trust that maintains the site, as well as some other things. So there was just a lot of information, as you can tell from me telling you so much information about Stonehenge. But I was like, man, there's a lot more to this than I thought. I thought I was just going to be like, did aliens build it? Probably not. End of episode. We've got more stuff. In the next few centuries, they rearranged some of the stones, dug some more holes, built an earthwork avenue that connects it to the river. And then once we got into the Bronze Age, there were some carvings from that period on the stones. But it seems like as we were kind of going into the Iron Age, that the site fell out of use. So it was known about, like, there are evidence that, like, the Romans, like, hung out around there. There is, you know, they found, like, coins and things, but it didn't appear to be used for its original purpose any longer. And you might be asking, what is that purpose?
What is that? I was asking that.
You was. There you go. This is something that people have also been wondering for a long time. There you go. So the first known excavation at Stonehenge was in the 1620s. And around that time is when John Aubrey, who the holes are named after.
known for his holes.
Rolled up, known for his great holes. So he was the one who attributed Stonehenge to the Druids. And it appears that was just because they were the only mystical prehistoric people that he knew of. So he was like, well, this seems old and mystical, so it's got to be Druids. But Stonehenge is actually probably like 2,500 years older than Druids. And from the text that we have about ancient Druids, they do not have any particular interest in stone circles. But it is obviously, as many of people know today, an area of interest for a lot of modern day Druids and neo-pagans. So there is definitely a connection people have to the site, but it doesn't appear to be connected to the ancient Druids.
Then where'd it come from?
So the site is on what is referred to in one thing I read as a solstice axis. Which sounds really cool, and like that would be like a good like D&D character name.
Yes.
I think solstice axis. And that means that it aligns to the sunset at the winter solstice on one side and to the sunrise of the summer solstice on the other side.
Oh, it's almost like a sundial but different.
Yeah. That's cool. Mm-hmm. That's and so super they cool. As you mentioned previously, Midge, people like to party here.
Celebrate! I got celebrate. It right!
They found evidence of feasting at the site, but not anything that seems to indicate that people live there long-term. So we obviously can't fully understand like what specific beliefs drew people there, but it appears to be some kind of temple or ritual site that is connected to the seasons and the movement of the sun. There you go. Also, I wanted to give another shout out to English Heritage, where I got info from. They have a whole page about the evidence of the feasting that was held mm-hmm. in the area. And there's a whole little section talking shit on the paleo diet and being like, this is not historically accurate. So what's up? So there was indeed lots of like pig roasting and stuff going on here. But people were also eaten seeds and other sorts of non-meat items.
Very so nice.
Some researchers believe that the blue stones were meant to provide healing, either from just kind of their presence, or there was one thing I read that appeared to be kind of recent that was saying that, like, if you hit them, they make certain noises, like they're
like a sound bath.
Yeah, like they're maybe more resonant than other stones. I didn't get to hear a clip of the stone sounds. Maybe
they didn't have any videos of people hitting stones.
Tried to look into that, just banging on Stonehenge. But there's a thought that could have something to do with it. And then also theories that like could be like an observatory or a calendar of some kind. I did also see someone who was like, oh, maybe Stonehenge was basically like a big public works project where they were like, let's bring stones from all over to represent like our people unifying. So that could be like, so like they probably built the site for a specific reason, but you know, maybe that was some kind of inspiration where they were like, got to bring these 140 miles to show our unity.
I was like giggling in my head when you were talking about like, and then a few years later, they were like, got to dig some more holes. And I was like, that sounds still like how cities are today.
Right. It's
like,
true.
Haven't dug some holes and put things in them in a while.
Yeah. Got to put some stuff in some holes.
Put those taxpayer dollars to work.
Yes. But yeah, whatever it was for, this was a site that people were at and continuing to develop for over a millennia, which is crazy. And like you said, it's kind of, you think of like, oh yeah, like cities and places and things that are important to people evolve over time as you go in there. So In the late 1800s, the British military bought a bunch of land around Stonehenge and like set up like training grounds and stuff around there, which meant that there were more highways and infrastructure to bring people to the area, and it continued to be popular with tourists. Something else that I'm sure other Stonehenge things I consumed as a child mentioned this, but that I wasn't really fully aware of, is that a lot of the stones fell throughout history, and some were being like propped up with timber, and it was kind of like throughout the 1900s, and then like kind of every like 20 years people have been like restoring and like putting top rocks back where they were before. And it's the lintel is what they describe it as, but I was like, that sounds so pretentious, I can't be like, I need to put my lintel back up.
So
Stonehenge has been kind of put back together into what we believe it had previously looked like. The super crazy thing was Stonehenge was private property for almost all of this time.
Yeah.
So, like, King Henry VIII, like, gave this area to some dude, and then it was, like, passed down and sold to other dudes until 1915. There was a guy named Cecil Chubb, excellent name,
nice,
who bought it and, like, gave it to Britain to have.
Oh, wow.
And so it has been in the care of the state since then. As I mentioned earlier, there was, like, a big restoration and the first real, like, modern excavation effort in the 1920s. And a lot of the things that, like, we've kind of heard, the, like, initial information that we all know about Stonehenge really came from these explorations. There was another big push in, like, the 1950s and 60s to do more work on it. And as we mentioned, you know, 2021, there is still work happening at this site. As we have new research methods and new technology, we can test for things like strontium, obviously.
Obviously. I can't believe they hadn't done that before.
We've been waiting years for strontium testing.
Would have been my first thing I would have done the minute I got into Stonehenge.
Right, of course. But yeah, people continue to explore it and learn more about it. This is one of those things that is so old that some parts of it, I think, will always be a mystery. But
right.
I think it's
literally no written.
Yeah, there's no written record.
There's no way to know.
But it's really interesting to like learn more about how the people of that time lived. And I just find it always really charming to like think about the ways that ancient people were the same as people now, that people have always had kind of the same motivations. You know, we want cool places to party, we want, you know, important ritual sites where we can leave our, you know, beloved loved ones, and it's just,
and we've always been marking them with rocks.
We love to mark things with rocks, and we love to dig holes, so that's just what humanity is all about. And I see that coming through in the beauty of Stonehenge, and that's why I say no to aliens building Stonehenge, because I'm like, this is a triumph of humanity.
I have a Stonehenge memory, if I
please
may share.
Yes,
just that it kind of, I feel like it relates because it's spooky. The first time I ever became like aware of Stonehenge was from my favorite Halloween movie growing up, The Halloween Tree. I'm sure I've talked about it on the podcast before, it was an animated PBS special of the Ray Bradbury book. It's almost nothing like the book, but it's very, very good. And they do a section about like pagans and witches and their history, and they like end up in Stonehenge, and there's this like black cat running around the tops of the stones, and that's like my earliest memory of knowing what Stonehenge was. And so I've always associated it with witches because of that movie.
There you
which
go.
Which is not necessarily accurate, but it is inherently spooky in my mind.
Yes, I love it. Yeah, it was really interesting to, because I was kind of like, foolishly, I was like, I mean, it's a bunch of rocks. Like, what is there to know about Stonehenge?
Well, let us tell you.
And then I started reading about it, and I was like, oh boy, there's a lot. I I cut out a lot of, they have a lot of very specific information about what was happening at times that I summarized into moving rocks and digging holes. So if you want to know more about the rocks and the holes, do feel free to further your Stonehenge research yourself.
I'm sensing a really exciting episode title.
So thank you everybody for listening. I would love to know any of your Stonehenge related thoughts or feelings. I have not been to Stonehenge, so if you have gone, let us know if you felt the power of the solstice axis. But other than that, we appreciate you listening, and we extra appreciate any listener who leaves us a review. You can leave those on Apple Podcasts, you can leave comments on Spotify, or you can send us a DM on Instagram. And I believe Mitch has something to read for us.
I do. I have something to share because we are currently fresh out of hot reviews at the Apple Podcasts Bakery. So please feel free to, as you're finishing this episode, head to your nearest review stand and start writing. But we did get a lovely Instagram message from our friend Kira Rose, who said, "Hi, ghouls. I just went out to eat, and the waitress excitedly asked where I got my Those Crazy Victorians shirt from. Ooh. I was hyped up, I hyped up the pod to her, and we proceeded to gush about Night Vale," which is awesome. Yeah. I love that there's a through line from Ghoul's Night to Night Vale.
Hell yeah.
Also, how have I never done a Night Vale episode? I'm just realizing this.
Girl, I think you just said that.
Pushing Daisies might have brought that up, too.
You said it on my has-been episode.
Or has-been, that's what it was.
We mentioned Night Vale, and you were like, how have I not? And yet you don't have a Night Vale episode today?
I don't. It's coming. Don't you worry.
Stay tuned, listeners.
But anyway, Kira said that the waitress is very excited to listen to the pod and already wants the merch. So that is very exciting. Thank you, Kira, for spreading the good word, the Ghoul's Night gospel out in the wild.
Yes, thank you. And if you're that waitress, hi.
Hi, waitress. What's your name? Where are you from? How you doing?
Leave us a review.
Leave us a review. If you would like to also get your own Ghoul's Night merch, if you do not have Those Crazy Victorians merch or Ghoul's Night in Pod merch, you can find that at my website, midgemonster.com/shop. And Penny and I have been chatting about some new merch that might be in the works. So keep an eye on the skies.
Stay tuned. So if you like the pod and want to follow along with us, we are on Instagram at Ghouls Night in Pod. And if you are looking for me, you can find me across the internet at Penny Snark.
And you can find me all over the web at Midge Munster.
And until next time,
goodbye.
Bye.